Welcome back. I hope, however that time was spent, that there was a sense of caring and nurturance. And as I mentioned before, we'll just move right into the sit. So I want to invite each of us to allow the body to come into a posture that supports a sense of alertness, availability, and nobility. These are ennobling practices. Yeah. And for some of us, the body might do better lying down. So feel free to just take care of yourself and what your body needs. And that it's more the energetics of alertness, of availability. As we take our seats as daughters of the Buddha, sitting in a circle, as I said before, as I believe women have always done. And just in these early moments, just letting yourself, is there anywhere in the body that might want to release a little bit more of a rolling up and back of the shoulders or leaning into the back body away from the screen? Any micro or macro adjustments that might allow the body to feel a little bit more balanced? And for our anchor today, I want to sort of play with two. One, as many of you know, I'm a big fan of working with the elements, definitely a primary practice of mine. And today I thought we'd work with both the element of spaciousness, space, air, and wind and breath, by which I mean, again, allowing the attention just to rest in the body. Taking again these sort of early moments just to check in. How is the body? How's the breath? We are a nation of chest breathers. We tend to sort of be up, which can keep the system kind of amped up. And right now we're just noticing, is the breath shallow? Is it deep? Can we tell? Does it feel like? And then an invitation. It feels right. And I'm aware breath is can be tricky. Yeah, it's not always a neutral element. If anyone has asthma issues or has had trouble breathing, let these instructions go. You don't need to push through anything. But if it feels helpful and of benefit to take a longer inhale through the nose, maybe for a count of four, five, six. And then an exhale. A little bit longer, so six, seven, eight. And just allowing it to be a steady, there's not a holding of the breath at either point, but just that breathing in through the nose, if it feels right. And then the exhale through the mouth as if you're blowing out just a few candles. This is a way of landing in the body and help it, this can help regulate the system. Yeah. When we allow our breath to touch into the lower part of our lungs, it helps activate the parasympathetic system, helps again with the regulation of the nervous system. And as I think we all know, it's very hard to sit when the nervous system is dysregulated. So in these early moments, just letting yourself find an easy rhythm, again, if it's helpful, through the inhale through the nostril. And then exhale through the mouth. And maybe take a couple more breaths like that. And then you're welcome to continue doing so, or just allowing the breath to kind of find its natural, easy rhythm. And with the mind, I'm going to ask us either, well, first we'll do two things. One, that kind of classic image that's offered of the mind is like the blue sky or the expanse of the ocean. If you're standing on the beach, expanse of the ocean to the horizon on a clear day. And aligning energetically with either or both of these images of spaciousness. Yeah, the Montana, big sky, maybe bluebird blue and vast, or that expanse for standing on the shore of the ocean looking out. So much space, yeah. In whatever room we're in, there's more space, more air than anything else. And if we can hold that image, one of those images, or certainly your own that's akin to this, in the mind, and then allowing almost to drink that in the body, that there can be a sense of spaciousness throughout the body, the forehead, in the cheeks, in the jaw, the throat, back of the neck, even in around the between the brain and the skull, all those cells in the brain, imagining the sense of spaciousness that our cells are pumped up again with this air element, with a sense of space. And if it's helpful to imagine doing a body scan down the neck, the front of the body, the rib cage, all the organs, the back body, again, infusing this body of ours with a sense of spaciousness in the cells, in the muscles, in the fascia, in the tissues, in the veins, in the organs. Dropping down into the pelvic bowl. Again, spaciousness. Vast blue sky, vast expanse of ocean, a vastness of space inside this fathom-long form of ours. A spaciousness going down our legs, those big thigh bones of ours, the bones of the knees, the bones of the lower legs. That complicated ankle joint of ours, bones in the feet. Again, with the arms, the shoulder, joint of the shoulder, long bones in the arm, elbow, wrist, fingers. Again, infusing this body of ours, muscles, cells, fascia, tissue, with a sense of spaciousness. So it is externally, that vast blue sky, that vast expanse of ocean. So it is internally. And the air that comes in through the nose or mouth moves through the lungs. This aligning ourselves with the exterior and interior movement of air, which leads us into the wind element. Yeah. Oh, if it's helpful to picture the trees, if there are trees outside your window, the trees being blown a little bit, or that iconic quaking of an aspen leaf, leaves of a California oak. If anyone's been on the land at Spearock, those grassy hillsides, how wind moves through grass. So it moves through our body. Yeah, there again, there's an aligning ourselves, like, oh yeah, this earth element, this wind element, as an element of the earth, being on this earth, how this wind element moves through us. And I forget what, there was some movie back in the 80s, I think, that had that kind of iconic image of a plastic bag blowing in the wind. And that effortlessness by which the wind was moving this bag. Can we allow ourselves almost to surrender to that same, like this gift, this kiss of the wind through our own system, how the air flows through us? This life-giving force, yeah. Breath in, breath out. And the mind does what it does. Maybe judging, comparing, having all kinds of thoughts. Okay. I'm just naming it a thinking mind or judging mind, comparing mind. And then bringing the attention back to how this body of ours is moved through this movement of breathing. Yeah. That we can certainly can breathe in different ways and control our breath, but often it's just miraculously does it on its own. Our body knows what to do. And just aligning ourselves with this movement, breath in, breath out. Nothing else to do. There's nowhere else to be but allowing the attention to rest on this in-breath and out-breath. Remembering that there's all this spaciousness around us and within us. Please remember there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, we see how it is. This invitation may work, it may not. It's okay. Just allowing yourself again to just align with these elements of spaciousness and space. And when this movement of the breath, the in and the out breath. And please feel my gratitude that we have the opportunity to sit together. Nice as always to sit together. And yeah, so today I wanted to sort of play around in the arena of this homecoming. And I feel like I remember when I first started practicing, and I didn't really understand breath, the first foundation of mindfulness of breath. And I was like, yeah, whatever. It didn't seem that interesting to me. I think over the years, I feel like I'm in a place where it's just gotten more and more interesting and just beneficial physiologically as a way of being able to settle, as I was saying before, settle the nervous system, settle into the body, which is its own doorway into coming home. And the necessity of connecting with the breath, and not necessarily, I mean, there's so many different breath practices to do, and whether it's sort of the Stan Grof holotropic breath work, which can kind of shoot you into different states of consciousness, or the more there's all these different Qigong breaths of being able to just drop in, slow the system down. So it's really such a profound practice. But again, sort of whichever doorway of the type of breath work we're doing, it feels like it is a way in a way home. And it's kind of what I want to talk about today. So I want to start with a poem from, or one of the sonnets from Rilke. You who let yourselves feel, enter the breathing that is more than your own. Let it brush your cheeks as it divides and rejoins behind you. Blessed ones, whole ones, you where the heart begins. You are the bow that shoots the arrows, and you are the target. Fear not the pain, let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy the seas. The trees you planted in childhood have grown too heavy. You cannot bring them along. Give yourself to the air, to what you cannot hold. And there's so much in this poem that I think is so powerful, particularly that line of the trees you planted in childhood have grown too heavy. And this invitation, how I hear it, is sort of what can we let go of as sort of the causes, conditions, traumas, things that have not worked out, things that have worked out. It's one of the images that as I think about the childhood trees of like, oh yeah, there's all this weightiness. And David Wyatt, the poet, talks about this bag that we can have behind us. And as we're kids, we kind of keep just putting things we haven't dealt with in the bag. Like, we'll deal with it later. And then 20, 30, 40 years later, like, oh my goodness, it's such a massive bag. And this idea of like, well, what if we let go? Sometimes we need to filter through and go through the bag and sort it and all that. And sometimes it's like, well, what if we let go? What if we didn't carry it? What if we allowed those trees of our childhood to be, you know, like the blooming tree of spring, you know, just those buds of the flowers coming on, and allowing ourselves to step out of the weightiness. And that sounds like a good idea. How do we do it? What if it's one breath at a time? This breath in, this breath out. There's nowhere else to be. When we allow the mind to just steady on that, the wave of an in breath and an out breath, there in lies also a congruence. Okay, I can align this. And as I'm talking, I'm also aware of, as I mentioned in the instructions, for many folks, whether it's illness or any number of reasons, the breath is not a neutral place. So I want to honor that as I'm sort of directing a lot of this talk to like how great it is, when for some people, like, it really isn't at all. And then what? And sort of it's the question of the Buddhist instructions very much are like, if this works, great. Try it on, see if it works. If it doesn't, let it go. So for those who might be sitting with a sense of, okay, I don't like working with the breath. Sort of what's preference and what's just, it's not a skillful means. And being able to determine, no, it's not a skillful means. Okay, so then is there another type of sensation that can work as a doorway into embodiment? Yeah. If it's not the wind element, maybe it's that just that spaciousness and resting and abiding in that sense of a spaciousness. On Monday night, I'm going to be more talking about kind of where we abide, but I feel like this more the homecoming of today. Where's home, and how do we find home in a world that is see? And Carlita and I were speaking earlier before, like, it's all maybe always been hard, but I mean, I know I'm older than Carlita, but it wasn't didn't seem this existentially challenging as it is now, and the way that our nervous systems, I think, Well, I do believe this in sort of Gabor Mate's book, The Myth of Normal, su support the idea that this animal body of ours does not function well in this world with all of the everything that is kind of constantly coming at us. There's a way in which we're constantly a little on edge. Hence that line about our being a nation of chest breathers, right? So that keeps us in the nervous system kind of being slightly agitated. But it takes a lot of work to remember to breathe deeply into the lower parts of our lungs, right? And into that back body. It's not how we normally walk around, which then keeps us disconnected. Yeah. And I kind of want to keep coming back to what I am hoping to encourage us of really looking at how do we abide within ourselves, find the ground of home within this animal body of ours to meet the challenges, which are myriad and many levels and complicated and often just the way it is. Yeah, like there are some things in our lives, like it just is this way and it's hard. Exhale. Okay, right. I was talking before of Gil Fronsdale's great line of equanimity, like, okay, what's next? How do I want to meet this moment, this challenge, this challenging relationship, this challenging situation with work, financial challenges, work? I mean, the list goes on. The ways that we can be challenged by things, right? And that's not going to change. Yeah. Even some of the monastics, you know, they just talk about it's, life is hard in a monastery. It's a lot of personalities, right? It's just, there's no way really to escape. I'm thinking of Tenzin Palmero, who spent 10 years in the cave in the Himalayas. It seems like she had a pretty good time, but she did a lot of work to get to that place. So I think just the sort of the complications of being human with this mind of ours and this body of ours, with all the things that challenge us, the ways we can be sick, the ways that our mind can stress us out, or we can be so anxious. Okay. And we breathe. Yeah. And come back. Walk, Don't Run by Rob Bell. That's it. Walk, don't run. Slow down, breathe deeply, and open your eyes because there's a whole world right here within this one. The bush doesn't suddenly catch on fire, it's been burning the whole time. Moses is simply moving slowly enough to see it. And when he does, he takes off his sandals. Not because the ground has suddenly become holy, but because he's just now becoming aware that the ground has been holy the whole time. Efficiency is not God's highest goal for your life, and neither is busyness or how many things you can get done in one day or speed or even success. But walking, which leads to seeing, now that's something. That's the invitation for every one of us today and every day in every conversation, interaction, event, and moment to walk, not run. And in doing so, to see a whole world right here within this one. Yeah, and for some, the bringing God in may not land. Okay, let it go. But this is a deeper invitation of slow down. What can we see when we slow down? And what really is our, I don't want to say purpose, sort of in the realm of aspiration. Well, what are we doing here? You know, I really like that line. Like, it's not all about success. It's not all about busy, how busy we are, how much we can done or get done, or so kind of the contrary to the popular messages out in the world of, wait, it's what about if the goal here is really to slow down enough, to pay attention enough, to feel alive and to feel a part of the natural world. You know, this that beautiful line of the ground has been holy the whole time. If we but slow down enough to see it. And one of the ways of slowing down can be this doorway of paying attention to the breath, of slowing the breath down. Because it also again drops us down into the sort of lower registers of our body instead of being just up here or up and out. You know, for those of us with trauma histories, dissociation can come pretty easily, which had its skillful means at the time, but ongoingly not always so helpful because we're dissociated from ourselves. And the naming of the trauma histories, the idea of coming home, let's say this from my own experience, it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. So the work that it can take to have our own bodies that may have had some challenging experiences may not be neutral either. and sort of the work and the patience and the love and the compassion and caring that's required to kind of reclaim this body of ours as holy, safe ground. And just wanting to name that, I'm not assuming that that's just what we all have access to. It's not at all. And it's not to say it's not possible to reclaim it. Yeah. And it can be sort of one breath at a time. In this moment, there might be an inkling of how it is to feel safe in the body. Okay, great. And then we might lose it. Okay, so then we come back. And the sense that enlightenment is one moment, one breath at a time, it's just an awakened sense of it could be otherwise. Having, there's a book I haven't read, it's on my list, called The Age of Anxiety. And there's so many studies being done about the youth today and just so anxious. So again, so many different reasons for why that is, but it's also true for those of us who are older. These are sort of anxious times. And again, when the nervous system is kind of vibrating like this in a way that doesn't feel good, it's really hard to sit. And those of you who last year was having health challenges, like it was really hard for me to sit. I was sort of coming out of my skin. So it's this movement practice, okay, how to come back into the body, back home. We look with uncertainty, Anne Hellman. We look with uncertainty beyond the old choices for clear-cut answers to a softer, more permeable aliveness, which is every moment at the brink of death, for something new is being born in us, if we but let it. We stand at a new doorway, awaiting that which comes, daring to be human creatures, vulnerable to the beauty of existence, learning to love, right? Allowing ourselves to reside in the animal bodiness of this form. We're so encouraged to be in the mind and thinking this and figuring this out and doing and all these things and the myriad of obligations we might have in the world. And yet there's this animal body that's like, wait, what about me? I move this animal body, I move at a different pace. The expectations the mind may have, the expectations of the world around us might have, are not necessarily and rarely in accordance with this animal, the animal body pacing. Right? So when we come together these Thursday mornings, this chance of like, oh, okay, slow down. Or at least this time, there's not much expected of us. We can just rest into it's this breath, this moment. Can I let myself feel in this body of ours, mine, whichever pronouns we're using here, to be able to have a sense of stillness and remembering, oh, yeah, this is me in this body. And have that connection to ourselves because that's how we have access to our wisdom. To be able to have the skillful means to have the wise response. It's really helpful when we're embodied, right? The mind, it can be so untrustworthy. There's a talk by Ajahn Amaro. It's like something like calling the mind a liar. It's a series of a couple talks, which is just awesome. Like turning towards the mind and be like, liar, right? Because so many thoughts are like, not necessarily helpful, right? Stories we can tell about ourselves or about other people or all of that. But so the mind is not always trustworthy. Yeah. The body's pretty trustworthy when we can feel it, right? And so many of us have sort of, we push, we push, we push until the body gets sick. And then it's like, pay attention to me. Yeah. It sort of stops us in our tracks. Okay, so that's one way. And then I think that the line from Rumi, do we make regular visits to ourselves? It's like, oh yeah, can we connect into the body enough to feel like, well, how is it? Which is why in the arriving sit, it's like, feel the body. How is it? And it's many things often, right? And just making space for it. Okay, this too, this too, this too. Checking in with the body, the sense of, okay, tell me more. What more do I need to know? From John O'Donohue, make your fears yield their deepest tranquillities, and may all that is unlived in you blossom into a future graced with love. This from Claire Dubois, your natural soul. Whether or not you know that you are beautiful, the flowers gaze at you whenever you walk by. When your heart feels like stone and you've lost sight of the gifts being given, you are still held by the earth beneath you and kissed by the breath of the trees. When you've convinced yourself that you're hopeless and that you simply can't fulfill the role that you were born here to play. The sky is still whispering your name, and the stars are waiting for their chance to sing to you. You are wanted here. You are part of the creation. Let the hurts melt away in the waves. Let your cries be carried by the birds. Earth, air, fire, and water are the truth of you. And when you drop the veil and open to the greater you, you will find your fullness in the valleys and groves and bow again to the sacred altar of your natural soul. So I want to invite you to close your eyes. And if it resonates, to imagine stepping into this world this poet describes, where the sky is whispering your names and the stars are waiting to sing to you. You are wanted here, and you are part of this creation. Yeah. This body of ours that is made of the same stuff of the earth and the stars, with the earth element within us and the water element within us, the air, wind, fire. Allowing yourself to feel the sense of connection and belonging to this earth, to each other. We are held by this earth beneath us. And allowing yourself, if this image works, is sort of perhaps maybe we're all single file in the, again, on the path through a meadow of alpine flowers. And imagine these flowers gazing and smiling at us. The birds that sing to us, the trees that kiss us with their breath. How does it feel to yield yourself over to this kind of world? A congruence within the body of breathing, a steadiness of the heart, a quietness of the mind, a connection to the beauty that is around you and within you. And then imagine if we are all together on this beautiful single track through this floral mountain meadow. And we come into a particular kind of clearing that there is a tree stump or a zabuton for each of us. And we each take our seats in this alpine meadow with the beautiful mountain spires around us. Where the birds may sing to us overhead. Allowing yourself to take your seat in the circle. More importantly, perhaps, allowing yourself to take your seat within your own form, in your own bones. And to check in with yourself here, what's important? What matters to you? When graced by this, these gifts of stillness, of quietude, of expansion, a sense of being held, the earth holding us, the flowers gazing at us, the sisterhood of our Sangha. What is your heart longing for you to know? And it may be helpful to place your hands on your heart and listen to this deepest part of yourself who has her own song to sing in this life. And we may not quite yet hear the melody, we may not yet quite hear the words, but we're opening our attention to be available to hear it. To hear from this deepest part of ourselves as to what matters in this moment and in this life. And I'm going to let us luxuriate in this time here for a bit, if you're game, allowing this question to linger. And undoubtedly, it's one of those questions that we will live into. What is your heart wanting you to know? What is the song she wants to sing? When we allow ourselves to be still or imagine the stillness and drop deeper and deeper into ourselves, what's here? It may be images, it may be colors, it may be words. It may not be much of anything. Yeah, that's okay too. We're just pausing these, posing these questions and inviting us to drop down beneath the surface of the chatter or the everydayness from where we might live and drop down. Into this place of this soul's dwelling or the heart's dwelling, to ask the question, what do you want us to know? What matters? And what do you love? And noting if the mind gets too busy, coming back to the breath. If the image resonates, allowing yourself to stay in our women's circle in the Alpine Meadow. Of course, if there's another image that resonates, by all means, go with it. Abiding in a sense of spaciousness outside of ordinary time, outside of demands or obligations. Just this in-breath and this out-breath. Feeling deeper and deeper into the stillness that is your true home. One breath, one inhale, one exhale at a time. Pause here. And thank you so much for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.